Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Talk with Ricky. I'm your host with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. Thanks for listening in as we start tonight's podcast. Let us begin. Thanks for listening.
All right. Hi, guys. Welcome back to our show. This is Ricky once again, your host, and I have my returning guest here, my buddy Josh. And we're going to pick up where we left off in the last episode. All right. So go ahead and say hello, Josh.
Hello. Hello, my friends. Hello. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you. How's you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Just, kind of relaxing today after a terrible work week. It's all good.
Going to get better tonight. We got a great show planned out here, so let's go ahead and dive on in.
Yes, sir.
All right, what you got for us?
Oh, we were talking last time. We touched on a whole lot of subjects, but let's try and narrow it down. Like, I wanted to talk because I got really, really interested in our origins again, and I actually started rereading this book that I was reading right when I started working where we work. I remember talking your ear off about it constantly. I was always talking about this book. So I started rereading it again, and like it invoked the same like fire in me. So that's definitely what I want to talk about. I was talking about humanity's origin and like, you know, the different versions of our history and what we accept as truth and what we don't accept. But the book is called Slave Species to the Gods by Michael Tellinger, and it's like the story of the Anunnaki and their mission on Earth or whatever. And if you've never heard of who the Anunnaki is, you should definitely look into that, anybody who's listening, because the story is mind-blowingly fascinating, at least to me. Like, to anybody seeking, you know, better answers than what we have about our history, you know, by all means. Because, I mean, you know, we've been told all our lives to accept, you know, what our schools taught us, you know, that we slowly evolved over time, and all of a sudden, you know, 6,000 years ago, we were building, you know, great monuments and pyramids and stuff like that out of nowhere, and all of a sudden knew how to farm and knew how to raise cattle and domesticate animals and all this stuff that we just learned out of nowhere, right?
Right, and they built stuff we can't even do today with our technology.
Right, like the pyramidic structures, man. Like that's such a fascinating subject. It's something that just like it lights a fire in me as soon as I think about it, because like nobody really asked the question, because again, people are too busy in their lives to worry about where we come from. And I think it's an important part of our human evolution is to really realize where we come from. And I think that the reason that it's being kept from us is so we don't evolve. Like, we want, you know, they want us to be the obedient slave race.
Exactly. Like, be evolved is more.
Right. And
basically,
like,
they
the
say...
Like,
now, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead with that one.
I was just going to say, basically, how a lot of us believe that we're actually nowhere near as advanced as we were in those times.
It's crazy to think, you know, we consider ourselves such an advanced species, yet we can consistently demonstrate that we destroy each other. We have like this violent tendency built into our DNA, and like nobody really knows why. Like, why are we such an quote-unquote advanced species, yet destroying one another on a daily basis? And like, there's no real good answer for that.
There's not, no, definitely not.
But, like, the beginning part of this book I've been reading talks about DNA and how essentially they've traced human DNA. And once they mapped the entire genome using computers, they were able to trace DNA, like, they're the first humans back to, like, they call it, you know, the, what do they call it? The original, they call it Adam, anyway. But they traced that back to, like, some 200,000 years ago. And it doesn't, and what science, what they've come to, you know, agreements, or nobody can come to terms with, is like how we made the jump. Like, there's some kind of a jump that happened, and nobody can find that missing link. You know, they talk about the missing link in genetics.
Yep.
There is no good answer for that.
There is not. It's a big mystery. Unless you, you know, follow the stuff you're talking about now, the Anunnaki and, you know, the origin. So
right.
That's
that
the
leads me into this next part. Like, so back in the 90s, so in the, like, when they used to, you know, like, archaeologists back in the day, they were just glorified treasure hunters. Like, essentially, mm-hmm. they would go pillage these places and loot anything that was worthy of, like, a museum. Like, they wanted big, crazy gold artifacts and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. everything else, they just kind of shoved in the corner. So they, you know, they ended up unearthing, you know, thousands and thousands of these tablets of writing, and they just blew them off because these people were, according to our knowledge, supposed to be primitive. Like, what information could they have for us that would benefit us? So they just sat on mm-hmm. the shelf until they started being deciphered in the 90s. And the stories that come out of these are mind-blowing because they not only, you know, like, you start to realize that the Bible is essentially a condensed version of a lot of these stories in these tablets.
Right.
And
right.
Yep. a lot of people will gawk at that, but these literally carbon dated, these tablets predate the Bible by 3,000 years
mm-hmm.
that they found. And these are the Sumerian tablets. You know, according to what we believe, these were essentially like the first civilization. These people should not have had this kind of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, you know, the tablets confirm that they had knowledge of star systems and all sorts of stuff. How could they know this? How could they know how many
yeah.
planets were in our solar system? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
When you really start to think about it.
And there's somebody talking that, yeah, that knew that stuff.
Right. And, you know, when you start to ask those questions, our story that we've been fed our entire lives starts to unravel. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the thing in our society is we're given something, just like religion, we're given something, you're not allowed to question it because it's a control scheme. Like, they
yeah.
don't want free thinkers. They don't want somebody questioning our entire origin because then, you know, the illusion falls apart.
It sure does.
Yeah, man, it's like, seriously fascinates me. Like, I have, like, a fire in me right now. And I want to, like, reread this whole book. I mean, honestly, when I read this book, because it references a lot of material from Zechariah Sitchin, and I then in turn read every single one of his books that he wrote, and it's 10 books, the Earth Chronicles, and that's a lot of books to go through. And it
mm-hmm.
catalogs, and, you know, he talks about, basically, this book that I'm reading summarizes all 10 of those books into one, because right, there's a lot. So it takes all the good stuff and you know, the history of humanity and puts it into this book. And granted, I'm telling you, man, this stuff is fantastical.
it is.
It's like, wow.
It is very cool stuff to go through. And even listening to you talk to it back in the day when we were working together, it used to fascinate me as well.
Right, because, like, it says, it's crazy. One of the things that it talks about, like I mentioned in our last thing, is that gold mining can be traced back to the cradle of civilization. So why is that? Why would early peoples know how to mine gold, and why would they be mining gold?
Mm-hmm.
What? Why?
Like, they didn't know it was a precious metal back then.
It doesn't make any
sense. Yeah. It doesn't.
And why did pharaohs decorate themselves in this gold? Maybe they were trying to emulate somebody they seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
No, you start to ask these questions, you talk to people around you, and they're like, oh, my God, you're crazy. You know, you can't think like this. I mean, I've mentioned the people at work, and they'll look at you like you're nuts. Because it starts – I mean, you know that as well as I do, man, especially even paranormal stuff.
It's like, some of the stuff you got to be careful who you talk to about it, for sure.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like, people are like, oh, my God, this guy's nuts. That's
mm-hmm.
okay. I'd rather be considered nuts than I guess asleep. I don't like to use the word term woke, but I like the word awake myself.
Awake.
I think woke
better,
has been
yeah.
weaponized.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that I'm going to quote myself here. I always say that being woke is realizing a part of the system is flawed. Being awake is realizing the entire thing is a flaw.
That's a great quote.
That's part. I mean, honestly, I think woke is only realizing half the truth. I mean, Anybody with a, you know, blind, not turning a blind eye can see that, like, this is set up, we're set up against each other.
Oh, every
but
day.
Anyway, I digress here. So yeah, like the beginning part of this thing, we're talking about DNA origin and how we map the human genome. And so it traces back again. Scientists were officially able to trace DNA all the way back to 200,000 years ago. And coincidentally enough, like when they deciphered these tablets, that's exactly what the tablets say is when they originally, when these beings, you know, the Anunnaki created the original Damu, which is, you know, coincidentally sounds exactly like Adam, right?
Right. There's no coincidences here.
Right. And, I mean, the story, again, it gets a bit fantastical, and a lot of people aren't really completely ready to hear it, but, like, the fact is, like, the regular story is not good enough. It really isn't. Like, again, we cannot account for the missing link in genetics and how all of a sudden we went from apes to conscious to, you know, farming and all that stuff, you know, and why all these ancient cultures around the world, every single one, if you start to really look into it, they have depictions of them interacting with beings from outer space. The Dogon tribe in South Africa, first of all, had knowledge of the Sirius star system. How could they know that?
There's no way.
How could they know that?
There's
and,
no
you know,
way.
It wasn't determined until, like, 10 years after they spoke to these tribes that the Sirius star system does exist, and they actually knew, like, the cluster of stars in that area. Like, how could this tribe have known that? Because they said that their gods came from that place.
Yep.
And they had depictions of these beings. And it's not just one, like, you know, there's not just one type of extraterrestrial. We always think of, like, little green men. But chances are there's a whole bunch of extraterrestrials that are not from Earth that look like us.
Well, yeah, there has to be.
Absolutely. Like, there has to be. I mean, I look at the universe as an infinite possibility, and I believe that what is happening here is happening everywhere, all over the planet. There's, like, I guess they've determined, like, a billion or more Earth-like planets just in the Milky Way galaxy alone.
Yeah, easily.
And to think that there's no life on any of those is so small-minded, it's I can't fathom it, you know what I mean?
And that's
just in our
to.
Galaxy.
Yeah. See, they want us to think we're small.
Right,
we're alone. Nothing else out there.
I mean, there's even a growing number of people that, I'm going to touch this hot-button issue, that think that, you know, we're the center of the universe and, like, there's nothing else out in space.
Yeah.
I did a whole podcast episode, and I'm all for it. You know, I'm all for conspiracies. I love looking into stuff. I spent time looking into the flat Earth theory. I spent time looking into the hollow Earth theory. I spent time looking into all of it. And the fact is, the science doesn't add up for the flat Earth stuff. Like, do I think we're being lied to about a lot of stuff? Absolutely. But, like, that one is not one I can get behind because, like, they say nothing else is out there. And that just can't be the case.
Yeah, I get you on that for sure. I mean, like, this, like I even tell everybody, I mean, if the Earth is flat or if it's round, I mean, we've never actually seen it with our own eyes, so we can't see either or.
Also
until
valid.
We have to go out there and see it.
That is a valid point. Like, I'm not just, you know, like, the Earth, well, for all I know, the Earth could be flat. However, like, we can look into the stars and definitely see, you know, there's stuff there. And, like,
right.
I don't know how, if they think that's an illusion or if they think it's, like, a projection from something. I don't know, man, but. Like,
there's no definite answer
you
here.
Look into some of you look into some of these forums, and they're like, cause I like read the comments on the James Webb Telescope, and I get a kick out of it because, like, people are like, oh, this is definitely fake. And, like, I don't know, man. I don't think that the James Webb Telescope is fake. I do think it's in space taking pictures of far stuff, and I think it's a good technological advancement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible they could be faking all that. Like, it's a hard position to be in to be a open-minded person because it's like, damn, man, could be either way, I guess.
Exactly. It's like you say, or even like I say, we're just seeing what they present to us, not what we see with our own eyes. So we just got to take it with a grain of salt if it's real or not. We just have no way of knowing.
Right. Well, hey, that's a dang good point, man. The journey of the free thinker is to is to question and continue questioning, even when evidence is put in your face.
Well, I will say this: regardless of if the Earth is flat or not, the Earth isn't what we're truly being told it is. Like, we already know the map isn't accurate to how the, you know, countries actually are, and that's been proven.
Right. Absolutely.
So what else is true? What else is a lie? We don't know.
Right, I know. I'm sitting here questioning the entire origin story of Earth. You know what I mean? Like, that's like what really is true? Like, once you go down the rabbit hole of like conspiracy stuff, man. Like, mm-hmm. I've said to you, like, there's so many conspiracies that have been proven absolutely true because they start to declassify data, man. Like,
right.
It's mind blowing, and it hurts people's mind to really question these things because people cling on to their worldview. But I'm telling you, the moment you let go of the world is only this and this little bubble, your mind explodes. It becomes, I don't know, man. Like, you've experienced it. Like, when you start to really question everything around you, it's like, it's free. It's also can be depressing at times because, like, you know that we're essentially living a lie as humans. Like,
oh, no doubt. The system is based on distraction. And, you know, we work 5 days a week, only 2 days off, you know. You don't have time to live. It's the only time to work, and that's it.
Right. And, you know, like, some people are able to escape that and, you know, live a little bit more comfortably, but ultimately we're still being robbed of a good portion of our paycheck by these, you know, this government. Gee. Government, the people that really run behind the government. And that freaking, I don't know if you've ever listened, you know, I've told you, we've talked about, like, the cabal or the people that are really running the show behind the scenes, right?
Right.
So part of the rabbit hole of going and researching the Anunnaki is that these beings, according to all the texts and all the books, they had incredibly long lifespans, which we are also supposed to have incredibly long lifetimes or lifespans.
I've heard
like
that
our
too.
Cells,
yeah.
Like, our cells rejuvenate. They consistently rejuvenate, but at certain points in our life, we start to deteriorate rapidly and go downhill. That wasn't supposed to be the case. You remember, like, in the original Genesis of the Bible, how it talks about, you know, these people live like 900 years, for example.
Yep.
And then what did God say? They shortened the lifespan after, I think it was after the Tower of Babel incident. Like, he shortened the lifespan.
Yeah.
And, you know, scattered people so that they couldn't
tongues,
communicate.
Different tongues, different languages. Yep. They were trying to reach to heaven.
And, right. So, like,
why wouldn't he like that? Why would he be so against us, you know, just seeking out the truth? Why would he want to go through that much trouble to confuse everybody and send them in all the different cultures, different languages, and confuse us and distract us? And why would he do that?
Exactly. Why would a loving God want to distract us like that? Why would he want to separate us like that and do all these different languages and make it so we can't come together? What
right,
is
exactly.
the reason? And that the answer, like, so remember how I referenced the Law of One before. So in the Law of One, they say, in order for us to reach the next stage of evolution, we have to come together as one and then branch out from this planet. So part of going out into space as a group, it's more complicated. We can't just go out into space and travel. There's more to it than that. We have to reach a point spiritually as well. It's not just physical. It's a spiritual thing as well. Like, if you look into any of the conspiracy stuff on, like, ET craft and stuff like that, they're piloted with their mind. Mm-hmm. Like, all that technology is done through the mind, and it's done, you know, telepathically. And what they're making jumps, they're making interdimensional jumps. It's not, that's why it's so hard to get a good picture of a UFO, because these are interdimensional crafts. They're not, they're existing
exactly.
in multiple places at once.
They can go in and out of our vibrational state at pretty much at will.
Right. And
they're being seen. They want to be seen.
Exactly. It's the in the Law of One, they discuss that as well. They discuss why they do it. It's they can't just reveal themselves due to the free will principle, but what they can do is, you know, do little snippets so you start to question what's going on around you. And then, the veil starts to fall. And if enough people around the world come together and the veil falls, and then we'll have a mass awakening, and then therefore we'll be good. they'll start to reveal themselves more.
That's exactly right. That's what they refer to as the ascension. You know, going to the fifth density or fifth dimension. That's pretty much what they're talking about collectively, though.
But it has to, like, one of those things is, like, it has to be done collectively, like, as a one people. That's what this earth really is. We are all one people, but we live as though separated. And
yeah, these false borders, you know, these fake lines dividing up states and cities, countries, just to keep us all separated.
Yeah, dude, like, the Tower of Babel incident, honestly, man, like, so the Bible's got the shortened version. The tablets, however, have a crazy long version of this that actually makes sense. Like, again, we got the summarized version in the Bible, and you got this long, like, holy crap, like, it all adds up. You know, that's the thing that never got me in the Bible, is that none of it adds up to me. So you start to question that the information falls apart.
Here.
And that's the problem that most free-thinking people have with the Bible.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. The Bible, there's too many conflictions in it for me to agree with.
Right. The only thing you really need from the Bible is honestly the New Testament. That's it. You need what Jesus taught you, like, to love others, like I said before in the previous episode. That's it. You need to love others and respect others. That's it. You don't need the condensed, regurgitated Old Testament.
Right.
Right, because you start to realize, again, reading the Sumerian tablets, that the God in the Old Testament is not, he's God with a little g. He's not God with a big G. He's not the creator of the universe, like the source. That's all it is, you know, the energy source. God himself is
the universe.
Not himself, itself. Right,
right.
Is the universe. I'm going to talk about Tower of Babel and think, because it's blowing my mind right now. But yeah, so what they did essentially is, I mean, it kind of skips a whole bunch of human history, but it's fascinating anyway. So essentially they were trying to become a space-faring race. Like, you know, we had become conscious, advanced to a point, and we were building essentially a spaceport and trying to get out into space. That's according to what it says in the tablets. You know, they said we built this big tower, et cetera, but we're building a spaceport. That's what it said. That honestly, to me, makes sense. So what they did is they didn't like that. They didn't, you know, the god Enki, who is the Yahweh, essentially, he's not good. Like, he was the one, the Iron Fist. He was the leader of the group on Earth. And then his brother, wait a minute. Enlil is the guy I'm talking about, is the bad guy. Enki is the good guy.
Right. Yeah,
they were brothers, and one of them was chose to lead the mission on Earth, and one was, you know, essentially, he's the second in command. Essentially, they built this spaceport, trying to get into space, and then Enlil had seen what they were doing and chose to destroy it, and then they genetically modified humans, changed, you know, some of their DNA. Not only did they make us look different, they also changed our language. They confused our language. Because we were being essentially taught by Enki, we were being taught all these secrets of science. So that's why he's been demonized in the Bible. He's been demonized as the snake, because he was trying to teach us all the knowledge to get us make free, you know what I mean? To be advanced like they were. Again, I guess I should lead up to that with more information from the past, but that's a fascinating subject, and it makes a whole lot more sense than just building a tower to the sky trying to reach God.
Right, because, you know, back in there, according to the Bible, even back then, we were dumb, you know. Oh, God's up in the clouds. Let's go build a tower and go up there to him, you know, which it doesn't make as much sense as, like, you know, just going outer space and, you know, search for the truth, you know.
Right, exactly, man. Like, is like that's the reason why we were so fascinated with the sky, is because we've seen, as early humans, we see that's where the gods came from. They came from the sky, outer space.
Yep.
So to them, that was heaven. Outer space was the heavens. You start to look and read the Bible from that perspective, change heaven to outer space. I did that one time, and I read, you know, the entire book of Genesis with that perspective, and it's like, holy crap, they're talking about dealing with extraterrestrial beings. That's what they're doing.
It fits, yeah.
It fits a whole lot better.
It does.
And then you read, you read the Sumerian versions of it, it's like, okay, now I'm like, you know, they literally lit this fire, you know what I mean? Like, makes a whole lot more sense, you know? So we have these, essentially, again, like I started from the last one, like their planet was dying, just like much like ours is. They were having issues with their ozone and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was determined that you could suspend gold into the atmosphere to save it. So that what they did is, you know, map the solar, go through the solar system and try to scan these different planets and find gold. And one of the stories from, ironically, from the creation of our planet, because our planet actually used to be, I believe it was two planets called, one of them was called Tiamat. And what happened is another planet had collided with it, which ended up becoming our moon.
Mm-hmm.
A planet collided with Tiamat and then, like, was destroyed, and that became the asteroid belt. And they've literally proven, based on, you know, different gravitational pulls, that there was a planet where the asteroid belt was. So essentially, the remaining part of our planet became what is known as Earth today. And they understood that Tiamat was full of gold, according to their legends. So they came here, scanned the planet, bam, came down here, and, you know, after a little bit of a journey, they came down here and decided they were going to, you know, mine the gold and try to get it back to their planet.
Okay. And the planet
what they did
is Nibiru, right?
Yeah, Nibiru, Planet X, or whatever you want to call it.
That's a pyramid that was discovered in the 80s.
Right. And people like to laugh that off, like there's another planet in our solar system, but it's important to note that we didn't even know about the last couple planets in our solar system until like 15 years ago.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Or 20 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we had no idea that there was other planets because we can't see that far. So it's funny when people laugh that stuff off because, like, I mean, like, all the great scientists of history were laughed off as crazy because, you know, they dared to be like, no, this is not the way it is. You know, some of them were even burned at the stake for that shit. Like,
yeah. Well, look at Galileo, who invented the telescope.
Right. I mean, according to this, there is another planet in our solar system. A lot of science has looked into it. I think they call it, what is it, Planet X in the conspiracy community, but yeah, it would be Nibiru.
Yeah.
And they actually have different names for what?
I say they also say it could be the second sun, as most solar systems do have binary star systems. This could be a burnout site or ground.
There's actually a good bit of evidence that suggests we do live in a binary solar system, and yes, that would be, like, the planet they lived on could potentially be like the like a sun, but not, you know, it's not in the way we see it. Like Jupiter. Jupiter is essentially like a sun.
It didn't ignite.
It's not on fire.
Right. Right. Well, the planet could be orbiting Nibiru. If Nibiru is a burnout star, the planet could be orbiting that.
Right.
But who knows?
In the way they described that planet, you know, it was super cold when it was super far from the sun. And, when it was closer to the sun, that's why they needed the gold, because suspending gold. And that's why, actually, a lot of the spaceships we figured out, we use gold in the windows of the spaceship to protect people from not only the sun's rays, but the radiation.
Yep.
It's interesting that that works that way, you know, considering that these tablets, again, were from 3,000 years before the Bible was written. And they were saying that way back when.
Yeah, why don't we try it today with our ozone layer to see what happens? Maybe they are,
right.
We just don't know.
They could potentially, man, but I think that the plan is to let us all die, personally. I don't think they want the people really on the show, really want us to succeed. But
you know, they want to depopulate. That's another conspiracy theory, I believe, too.
I mean, without a doubt. I mean, you can look at the world around you, and, like, any thinking person knows that we cannot continue the way we are as a species and make it much longer, because we are literally destroying our planet. You know, I spent a good chunk of time watching all the different Planet Earth documentaries, and, like, it's pretty crazy.
It is.
How much.
Look at the Amazon. They're tearing it down. They're cracking in the Amazon, and that's the Earth's major source of oxygen.
Right. It's the breath, you know, the lungs of the planet. And one of the things, like, because I've, honestly, I'm going to just come around and say it, I've done quite a bit of psychedelic drugs in my life, and it's really opened my mind to a lot of the things. And you start to realize that the entire Earth lives in a symbiotic relationship with each other. So, the Sahara Desert fertilizes the Amazon rainforest. The sand is blown all the way across the sea. Not only does it fertilize the sea, but the Amazon rainforest. Like, the Earth is essentially a living being, and we treat it like it's nothing. We, you know, it's essentially a god. You know, the Anunnaki, they call the planets themselves gods. Like,
even in Buddhism, they refer to planets as gods, their spirits, living creatures.
Right. We don't look at it that way because our science tells us it's not true.
It's just a big ball of dirt.
Yes, it's just a big ball of dirt that's not alive, but somehow spontaneously can create life and stuff like that. Like,
right. Yep.
And, you know, we have to start taking care of our planets. And one of the ways to do that is for, you know, we have to change our technology. And I was actually just talking with my kids about this, you know, because they were talking about getting, you know, wanting to get a Tesla car and stuff like that. And I think, you know, electric cars are a great idea. However, I also know that going to an electric car is just another form of control, because I'm well aware that they have the technology and have had the technology since Nikola Tesla to free us from energy. We could be on free energy. Yes.
Yeah, like, it exists.
Without a doubt, it does exist.
It's proven.
And there's actually
the Tesla coil.
Quite a bit of evidence. That's, yeah, the Tesla coil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the late 30s that this was built?
And they just conveniently...
I can't remember when Tesla was. I'm sounding like an idiot right now, but that's fine. I'll look it up later.
You're good.
And, you know, it's crazy.
He's ahead of his time.
Right. I actually have a book of autobiography on that dude, and I haven't read it, but I'm going to now. But it's crazy. You know, he died from mysterious circumstances. I always love that stuff. All the greatest thinkers who question the
norm
always end up being killed. They just died.
And all of his research
everybody
was taken.
Just dies.
And all of his research was taken when he died and probably destroyed, you know?
Yeah, right. And then they'd use the other guy's version of electricity instead, because why?
Benjamin Franklin.
It can be controlled.
They could be used as, you know, monetized, make us pay for it. Yeah.
Exactly. And do you know that the research has been done on, like, the Pyramid of Giza? Like, it used to have an aquifer under it, and these stones actually are conductive. And most people don't know that. So, like, there's a lot of evidence suggests that the pyramids themselves were wireless energy generators.
Which Tesla talked about as well. Yeah.
Right. He does talk about that. And like, another thing to look up, if anybody's listening, is to look up the Russian pyramid experiments. And it's crazy what just the shape of the pyramid will do. There's so much more science that is not being discussed about the pyramids. Again, they were not tombs. Anybody that still thinks that is just not thinking.
It's sacred geometry.
Like, they were, yes, they were, exactly. And, like, the Great Pyramid is just it's a feat that could never be duplicated. And there's actually a lot of speculation on who built the Great Pyramid, whether, like, the Anunnaki, again, they claim it was them. The our people tell us it was the Egyptians that built it, but, I mean, that's that's laughable. Again,
yeah,
there's
no way. It's too perfect.
In the Law of One, they would say that they built it, so Ra. And it's ironic that Ra is referenced heavily in, you know, in the Egyptian times, and they interacted with this being
he
as
the sun
a person.
God, yeah.
Right. The sun god. Imagine, remember what we were talking about? The sun? Remember what we were talking about that? What did I say that the sun was? These are the embodiment of the creator itself.
Yeah.
Like the logos.
The sublogos and logos.
So a lot of, like, I definitely think that the Anunnaki had a great, or a, definitely they were essentially part of humanity's origin. Part of it. I'm not saying that they are completely, like, they passed themselves off to be essentially, they did it all. It was all them. But I don't think that that's the case. I think that they definitely created the first humans. However, I don't think that they are responsible for everything in our history. You know what I mean? I think there was multiple different types of ETs that we were dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Countless. What numbers of them. But let's talk more about the Anunnaki themselves. What can you tell us, you know, more specifically? Who are they? Where do they come from? You know, what was their goals? You know, like you talked about Enki and all of them, but let's dive more into that, more detail.
Gotcha. Yeah, perfect. So, like, again, when they were trying to come to Earth, they had to, you know, they had, so the god Anu, or their king, essentially he's the king Anu. They call him God when you read the ancient Sumerian stuff. But anyway, he was their king, essentially sent his two sons on a mission to Earth, or whatever they called it. They called it Tiamat, essentially, but to try to get gold. So they land there. Enki was the first one to come down, and essentially they started mining for gold, and then they had to figure out a way to get it back to their planet, and it was hard for them to take off because of the gravity here. So essentially, just like our problem, we expend a whole lot of fuel just to get up into the atmosphere, upper atmosphere, right? So what they did is create a way station on they ended up creating a way station on Mars. And that's why, like, you look into the conspiracy community, you'll find that there's actually evidence of ruins on Mars.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So they created a way station on Mars, and a lot of the people actually worked there because, according to the tablets, there was actually more of an atmosphere on that at that time, and they had water still. And, again, we're finding evidence of that now.
Oh, they got ice
caps. The rovers
on
Mars. Right. And so essentially they worked for quite a long time, which, so they arrived, according to the tablets, they arrived 445,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this stuff for about 200,000 years, I guess, and essentially got tired of it. The people that were working in the mines they rebelled. They got tired of it. So what they had to figure out something. So being the Enki, he was a master geneticist. He was a man of science. So he worked to try to create, like, he had the idea to try to create a slave, you know, somebody to do the work for them. So they tried a bunch of stuff. They tried a bunch of random animals and stuff like that to try to make clones, and they essentially took the most human-like animal that they found. What I think it was I'm not sure the exact term. I'm going to look it up in a little bit, but was it the Cro-Magnon or Homo erectus is the word I was looking for.
Like the cave.
And they started, right, and they started splicing, you know, the DNA, and eventually ended up creating a being that could actually use its hands and listen and follow directions. What they called it the Adamu. So they essentially started mass producing these slave creatures and mining the gold for them, so that their people didn't have to do as much work. And they essentially, like, started liking also living on Earth. You know, they had, you know, families. They had, you know, they were basically building civilizations on Earth. That's why, again, we keep finding evidence of older and older and older civilizations all around the world. Like, Göbekli Tepe is an example of a place that they found that nobody can explain. And they essentially built so they've determined that the cradle of civilization is in South Africa. And that's where also the evidence of the earliest gold mining takes place. And, so essentially they spent a bunch of time there. Then they, like, I have to reread the parts to really get the, like, I haven't got back to that part to get the exact specifics here. But essentially, like, Enki loved his creations. Like, he was essentially their father. So he loved them. He was trying to teach them stuff, ended up teaching them farming and teaching them all sorts of stuff. And Enlil did not like them. He hated them all. He thought, mm-hmm. you know, they were lesser than them. They were slaves. And again, that sounds like the Old Testament God right there.
It exactly does.
And then, whatever. This can be turned into multiple episodes, which it will. I've tried to cover the whole thing.
But I'm down for that.
To summarize the beginning parts, they have these slaves that are doing all this work and doing all this work and doing all this work. That's why, honestly, slavery is another thing that can be traced back to the dawn of civilization. We were emulating our masters, essentially, by enslaving other people. It's sad, and it still exists today, and nobody really knows why. Like, why would early humans enslave each other? It doesn't make any sense, man.
They call it human nature for some reason.
Yeah, but what other animals enslave themselves? You know, like, we're supposed to be so intelligent and so advanced, mm-hmm. yet, like...
Well, I'm not. That's why all of nature is free, and we're not.
Right. And it's just one of those things, man. It's mm-hmm. a sad fact. And it can be, honestly, you read these tablets and stuff, it starts to all kind of make sense. Mm-hmm. I don't need to quote too much on the exact specifics, but this is something we're definitely going to dive into deeply about, the timeline, because the timeline is what fascinated me the most about the book.
Yes.
And, I'm not 100%. I'm going to have to make bullet points and stuff because, I don't want to mess it up and then come back and contradict myself. But, yes,
now
essentially we ended up, we started teaching humans farming and teaching all this stuff. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Let me go back to Eve. So, yeah, they created the Adamu, and then slowly but surely, that's what it was. They were producing these creatures, but they were not producing them at a fast enough rate. So they created a female so that they could procreate and produce, slaves faster.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. So, and it's crazy because I was just literally reading the human genome stuff, and mitochondrial Eve, as they call it, can be traced back. It's very, very close to, I think it's they tracked Adam back to 200,000 years ago or 225,000, and she was right exactly around that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, man, because again, in these tablets, it says that's what happened. They created them so that they could start procreating. That way they could have more slaves faster. And then, essentially, because they had females, and all of a sudden that the these men, or not man, but the Anunnaki that were on Earth. Right. And it's actually so the Nephilim, these beings, first of all, Anunnaki, they were huge. They were 14 feet tall. Even depicted in the Egyptian hieroglyphics, they're talking, we're cleaning these feet. Everybody tries to pass it off as their children, but no, these are tall people. The depiction of who's that guy holding the lions in that story? Gilgamesh, the story, Epic of Gilgamesh. He's holding two lions in his arms. That's mm-hmm. people say it's just, making him out to be bigger, but that's how big he really was.
Oh, yeah, they were giants.
And
they were super strong.
And
they lived forever pretty much. They were gods.
So what had happened is the people that were living on Mars, that were essentially working and not getting to enjoy the fruits of being on Earth because they had heard all the people, what was going on Earth, because Earth was beautiful. It was a paradise. So they came down there. They started taking, the women, which was forbidden. It was absolutely forbidden for them to do that. And, that comes to the Book of Enoch story and stuff like that. So the Nephilim actually means those who came to Earth. The Bible talks about them being giants. I do definitely believe there was giants at the time. That's outside the scope of this, but
Right.
Essentially, they came down to Earth and then took these, you know, creatures, humans as wives. The god Enlil, or their boss Enlil, found out about it and decided he was going to let them be wiped out.
Yes.
The shortened version. That's where the whole Great Flood thing came in. So God didn't flood the Earth. What had happened is that they were well aware, just like we could be well aware of natural disasters that come. Mm-hmm. So according to them, what happened is their planet had come close, and every time their planet had made this 3,600-year orbit, like when it came close, there was crazy Earth changes because of the gravitational force of this planet.
Right. So
what had happened,
shifts,
I guess,
and all that.
According right, pole shifts and all kinds of stuff. And I guess what had happened to cause the Great Flood is a big ice sheet had broken off and caused this massive tidal wave that consumed the Earth. And they knew about it and decided that they were going to destroy this abomination because, again, the Anunnaki were having babies with the slaves and creating, you know, genetic hybrids, essentially. And the problem is that they didn't want the genetic hybrids to have all these extra like DNA features turned on, because we were built in such a way that our DNA is actually short. Like we have pieces that are not turned on when they should be. And that's something you can look up in regular science. We have no idea why there's certain parts of our genome that's not activated.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that too.
And essentially, yeah, so what had happened is Enki learned that they had all agreed, all the Anunnaki, like the leaders, had agreed not to say anything to the humans to let it happen so that they can destroy the evidence of what they did. Because what they did, according to what they're saying, is it's an abomination. They were playing God and they weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's actually a cosmic thing. You're not supposed to clone because you're essentially, you're playing the creator role.
Mm-hmm.
It's taboo, I guess. So Enki didn't like the idea. He essentially decided he was going to elect one of the humans, which ironically was actually related to him. So he had taken wives as well with one of the humans, and the original name was Zeosudra of this person, which later became Noah. So he
right.
told Noah through a veil of reeds, because he agreed he wouldn't tell them, but he didn't necessarily tell them. He said, you know, he spoke through a wall, through a veil of reeds, and told them to build like this. I don't know, there's lots of different depictions of it. It's either a submersible, you know, a boat that can roll in the water. There's all sorts of different views on it, but essentially a boat. Let's just call it the Ark, you know what I mean?
Right.
And ironically enough, like, there's actually proof that the Ark existed. Like,
yeah, they found it. There's documents. I don't know if it's true or not.
The guy I work with, like, you know, Scott Tipton, he said he was on an expedition in the military, and they know where it is. It's buried under the ice. He's got LIDAR scans of this thing in the ice, and they're not allowed to go get it out because of the religious control of that area. They don't want it to come out. But, like, they have scans of it. Dude, it's nuts. Like, you can go on. I'll find the link to his stuff. But it's like Project Von Bora is the name of it. And I looked into it, man, it's absolutely nuts. Like, this guy is completely legit. Like, he also knows a lot about the Bigfoot stuff, and it's fascinating to me to listen to him talk. I would actually really like to get him on. Like, what?
Yeah.
I guess.
Talk to him. See what
I've been trying to get him on, but we just have different times off, and, like, he tends to go to sleep really early because he's an older guy.
Right.
But, yeah, so essentially Noah, or Zeosudra, as he was called, ended up surviving. And when Enlil came back down, he realized this. He realized that they had a human left and a bunch of it wasn't like two of every kind of animal. What he did is they took genetic material from all the animals. It was like
right.
essentially like a time capsule, you know what I mean? Like
the DNA, right.
Right, DNA. So, and then, yeah, he came down, realized that they were alive, and then it wasn't like, I know they talk about the covenant that they made, but like he was extra, I don't remember this part of the story, it's getting, you know, shady, but essentially he allowed them to live, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't continue on, and then they worked to rebuild the populace and all that neat stuff, but it wasn't like two people that survived, you know what I mean? It was a lot more than that. They essentially lived alongside us for quite a long time, and then, again, we'll dive more into the specifics when we have more time about it, but, and when I read more. They lived alongside us for a long time, and then they decided that they were going to let us, let their creations figure it out for themselves. But I don't believe that they, at least the dark parts of their control, Enlil's control ever actually left. I think that the people that really run the world are part of this group.
And right, yeah.
I do believe that there's a dark hand that's been keeping humanity under wraps. Some people call it the Cabal. Some people call it the Illuminati. Some people, there's all sorts of different names for it.
Different names, same thing.
Right. But it's the group that doesn't want us to be, the Law of One calls it the Orion group. just a group that doesn't want humanity to wake up.
But supposedly they're supposed to return too, though, aren't they? If they actually left.
Right. If they ever actually left, right. That's an interesting idea. I guess, they do say that they're going to return, and that's part of the idea why everybody thinks that the gods are going to return. Like, there's stories in every single religion around the world that God's going to return.
The second coming.
Even in South America and all that stuff. And, again, we'll talk a lot more about it, the next time we talk about it, too. It's actually crazy that all if you start to really, really get into the subject, the books have an explanation for every single god that's ever been existed around the world. And, the Greek gods, there's a reason why the Greek gods are very similar to the Roman gods, and why, for instance, down in South America, one of the gods had very similar tendencies as some of the other gods, because they're all the same people.
And
these weren't
like
mythical
Mars.
People. These, right. Like, these weren't mythical people. They literally existed.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And that's one of the books of Zechariah Sitchin's. Zechariah. Let's talk about the wars of gods and men. He talks, because history, these people's accounts, they talk about them like they were really there with them. They talk about Hercules like he was really there. He really existed. And that's
demigod.
The thing. Right. What if, these people, essentially were just more advanced versions of us and have their genome completely unlocked like we should and are able to do these fantastic things? Because realistically, we are supposed to. We're supposed to have, extremely long lifespans. We should have it, by all means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the other reason that we can't get, advanced fast enough is because we don't have enough time. We have such a short lifetime to try to wake up and experience that we can't get all the karmic work done that we need. And that's
and
part of the manipulation. Right. And they keep, destroying and absolutely destroying history.
That's true. Even the current wars, they're raiding all these ancient temples and destroying everything that they're told to. They're being paid to do it.
Exactly. The war in Iraq, for example, there was a lot of stuff there. Iraq, that whole area is of interest and has been at war for so long for a reason. That's
keep
where, according to, the Sumerian tablet, that was the Eden. The Eden was in that vicinity. I don't know the exact name, but it starts to make sense when you're okay, so they had all this buried technology there. The Emerald Tablets of Thoth, he was one of the Anunnaki, he talks about how he buried a treasure trove under the Sphinx. And if you watch some of these History Channel shows, they've shown evidence that there is a big chamber underneath the Sphinx. And I guarantee you that they've already went in there and got all that stuff. Because they know about
doubt.
It. Like,
why wouldn't they?
You start to really think about it. This mythology is not really myth. What if it's all real? What if you start to treat this stuff like it's real instead of believing it's hocus pocus? The world becomes way more interesting. Way more interesting.
I mean, the world is boring as it is
now,
but yeah.
It's boring because we're taught that all that exists can be identified with our senses. And that's not true. there's, you know, thousands of experiments that have been done with ESP that have been confirmed. You know, we really do have these faculties in our mind where we can, you know, read other people's thoughts. We can,
the sixth sense. Yeah.
Our thoughts literally are things. That's why I try to tell people, like, people that are negative all the time, and like, I'm really big on it because our thoughts create. We are creators. We're co-creators, just like it says in the Law of One. And once you realize that, like, you'll see it every single day. I see it consistently. I'll experience something I just talked about. And it's because our thoughts create. And they can create good, and they can also create bad. Yeah, the idea behind synchronicity. Like, would you really start to get into it? It's like you see it in absolutely everything. I do. I see everything as a lesson. I look back at my entire life. I see exactly why I went through what I did. I know what I learned from it. And that's what you got to start doing, is you're on a mission to learn something. It's like you were reading that stuff on Dolores Cannon. You know, you're, you know, here to, you know, solve these contracts. You come into this lifetime with a goal. But the caveat is you get the forgetting process. Because if you came in knowing the answer, it wouldn't be a fair game.
Exactly.
Right. You come in here and you forget what you were here to do, and then you have to spend your life remembering that. And because we have such a short lifespan, it takes us multiple lifetimes to do it. And that's why, again, I believe wholeheartedly that we would reincarnate 100%. Without a doubt,
and
I believe in reincarnation.
And we're going to say that for a different show. We got about 3 minutes left. That was a very fast hour.
Yeah, dude.
Great stuff. Great conversations. We definitely want to do this again on next Tuesday. Now, if you want, give us a cap or a summary. What do you want to talk about the next episode?
I definitely would like to continue the story more in depth on the Anunnaki stuff, because, like, I want to sell this in a way that, like, people really feel like the way I do about it. Like, especially if you're trying to seek and understand humanity's origin. And understand not only, like, the science origin, the spiritual origin, and to figure out, you know, because we have to learn where we came from in order to determine how we get to where we're going to go.
Exactly.
Like, without, we are, you know, we're, Graham Hancock says, we are a species living with amnesia.
All right, so we'll pick up next time with that. We definitely got a lot more to talk about for sure. So if you're up for it, we'll do this again on next Tuesday at the same time.
Definitely down, my friend.
Well, it was great having you on today. We got a lot talked about. I've enjoyed this conversation, this good chat. And I want to thank you again for joining me tonight.
Heck yeah, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me.
You got about 2 minutes left. You want to give a shout-out to anybody?
Yeah, give a shout-out to anybody who's listening. My sister, you know, I don't know if my mom's listening. This might offend her, but again, if you want to check out more of my stuff, the Synchronized Universe podcast with 3 threes in it, 3 in the beginning, 3 in the middle, 3 at the end. Again, probably should shorten it. Check out the Paranormal Truth Seekers on Facebook that I'm also a part of, which Ricky runs. Yes, that's it.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and wrap up now. I've got my little notification here that we're getting ready to end. All right, guys, check us out next time. If you didn't catch us live, catch us in the archives. And we'll chat here after this. All right, Jess? All right, I'll catch you later.
Catch you later, buddy.
All right, bye. And a quick shout out to everybody else who's listening from the group. Lisa, if you're listening, Jason, everybody else. My sister, Stephanie. And I'm going to put out the hashtag that I was told today, hashtag ParaUnity. Again, catch us later on Saturday. I'll be talking with William Glenn. And next Tuesday again with Josh Batchfield. Thanks for listening, guys. You have a great night.